This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Started as a three-man show, now two-man show. JP Flame just sent home early because he's sick. Right now, we hope our next guest is healthy and well. It's John Feinstein, best-selling author and Washington Post columnist. Golf season's almost here. Golfdom has you covered in Tysons or at golfdomgolf.com. Come experience the best in clubs, apparel, shoes, accessories, and more. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John. How are you? Hope all is well.
Good morning, Case. Good morning, Jason. I'm sorry to hear that Eric and JP are sick. I actually had the flu in November.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I know how miserable they are.
How many days were you out?
I was sick for about 5 days. I dragged myself out of bed and did a little work most of those days, but I felt miserable. I don't think I went out of the house for 5 days. Started right after Thanksgiving.
You probably lost some weight too, because you just can't eat when you got the flu.
I wish I'd lost more.
Yeah. Are you a flu shot guy, John Feinstein?
You know, I became a flu shot guy probably 2 years ago. Never did it before then. And this year, I actually went in to try to get a flu shot, and they didn't have the vaccine yet. And so I didn't get it, and then I got the flu. So it all worked out quite well.
This is unprecedented because I was sick last week. I missed 2 days last week, Wednesday and Thursday, with the flu. I probably should have missed Friday, but I wanted to be a team player, and I came in.
And you wanted to talk to me, of course.
Yes, of course.
Drabby begged me to come in. And then Eric got sick. So Eric has been out for 3 days. Now JP was just sent home. Cakes is next.
And John, the worst part is now Drab is bragging that he and I and Valdez never get sick. So he's just jinxing us.
Yeah, so you're all going to get sick.
He's just jinxing us all to being sick throughout all of February and March.
It's just a matter of time. And I had the same issue because I was teasing my wife about how she's always, you know, got a cough or something going on sometime in the fall. And then, of course, in November, I went down flat on my back. And we all know that women fight through being sick much better than men do. Women just go, okay, I gotta go to work. I got to take care of the kids, whatever it might be.
Right.
Men lie in bed and moan about how difficult life is.
Right. Well, I mean, they gave birth.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're way more resilient.
I still remember Gene Corrigan's wife, because they had 8 children, I believe, said to him once, he got sick like the flu or something and was lying in bed moaning and groaning. And she said to him, if men had to have the babies, there'd be no children.
Yeah, you're exactly. Probably right. You're right on that point.
I couldn't do it. Do you get freaked out when you hear stories about like the coronavirus and the bird flu and all that stuff?
I don't think I get freaked out. I'm very aware of them. Yeah. And you know, it's obviously an ongoing issue and probably a future issue and a present issue, obviously. But it's not like I jump out of my skin reading. I go, oh, Jesus. You know, I hope the scientists can figure this out.
Yeah. I just can't imagine. Like, that city, Wuhan, has 11 million people.
There's so many people in China. It's unreal how big those cities are over there, because we think of Beijing as a big city, but when I was doing my kids book on the Olympics the year before the World Championships, it's just swimming, had been in Shanghai, and I wanted to know more about Shanghai before I wrote about it even fictionally, and I looked it up and it said Shanghai, comma, a city of 14 million people. I'm like, what the hell? And that's almost twice as big as New York.
Yeah, but I mean, they shut it down. Can you imagine New York? You couldn't even go in or out.
I'd be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nuts. All right, let's talk about Morgan. He passed away, 88. 88's a good run. My mom would have taken another 19 years, I'll tell you that.
My mom, too. My mom, 21. She was 67.
Yeah, so, you know, and he was battling some issues the last 12 months, serious issues the last 12 months. But as you know, I played for Morgan. I've known the family since I was 14 when I was a freshman at Damatha. And I was really close to his oldest son, Brendan, and we played together. And Joe, I know Joe very well, too. And, you know,
Joe's a great coach in his own right,
absolutely.
As you know.
And he had a big impact on me. And, you know, I actually went to Damatha to play baseball. I was going to play baseball, and I started to grow a little bit. And I played freshman hoops, and I started to get better and finally made the varsity as a junior. Had a back problem. But he just had a lasting impact on me. I kind of lost touch with him in the last 5 years, which I'm kicking myself for. I wish I would have spent more time or certainly talked to him. But just kind of give me your thoughts on Morgan and your experiences with him.
Well, I think he used the right phrase there, lasting impact, because his, you know, the old cliche is the measure of a man's life is how many lives he touches. Well, Morgan's life was immeasurable. Not only all the kids he coached at DeMath, and not only, I don't know if you took his history class, but all the kids he taught history there, and the summer camp. Joe told me the other day that they figured out last summer that more than 200,000 kids have gone to the camp that he and Joe Gallagher started back in 1965. There were 20 kids that first summer. The coaching clinics that he did, the coaches that he mentored, and Joe made a great point. You have to even take it a step further to all the people he mentored who became mentors to others.
Yep.
So he's unique is a very overused word, especially in sports. Unique means one of a kind, which is why when people say very unique, they're wrong. But Morgan was unique. I never met anybody like him. I never met anybody like him as a coach. I never met anybody like him as a history teacher. I sat in on his history classes when I did a two-part series on him years and years ago. And I was a history major in college.
Mm-hmm.
And as I wrote in the piece yesterday, he was the best history teacher I ever encountered because he didn't lecture. He had conversations. He asked for opinions. He wanted the kids to talk back and forth and disagree, even if they disagreed with him. And that's the way he coached basketball, as you know, Jason.
Yep.
He had the final word. There was no doubt about that. But there was input. And I did get to spend a lot of time with him. I'm very glad because he was part of the Red Lunches for all those years.
Right.
In fact, he was the person who got me invited to the Red Lunches in the first place.
Yeah.
Because when I first wanted to go, I called Jack Cavance, who was then the AD at George Washington. And Jack said, you know, I don't know for sure what Red would say if I asked him.
Hmm.
But if Morgan asks him, he'll say yes for sure.
Yeah.
So I called Morgan, and Morgan said, yeah, sure, of course. And as you guys know, I ended up writing a book about those lunches and was close to Red until he died. And he was just an extraordinary guy. And I, you know, one of my favorite stories about him is that I think it was during Mike Jones's first year at DeMatha, they had a 9-game losing streak. Might have been the second year, but I think it was the first year. And we were at lunch one day, and I said to Morgan, well, what was your longest losing streak, 3, 4? And he looked at me like I just landed from the moon.
Uh-huh.
And he said, 3? I never lost 3 games in a row.
No, right.
And he didn't.
Nope.
We could talk for the next 3 hours about Morgan and tell stories, but they would all come back to the same thing. He was one of the greatest coaches at any level ever. Dean Smith said he was the best coach he ever saw. John Wooden said he was in awe of him as a coach. Red said he was an extraordinary coach. So take those three names and realize how great a coach he was. And then, as you know, Jason, he was a better person than he was a coach.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I don't think Maryland ever officially offered
the
job to him.
There were two opportunities. 1969, Jim Kehoe was interested in two coaches, Lefty Driesell, Morgan Wooten, and decided to go with the established college coach. Lefty done an amazing job at Davidson for 10 years, had been in the Elite Eight 2 years in a row. And you couldn't really criticize that decision. I mean, look how it turned out. Lefty was a Hall of Fame coach at Maryland. But then in 86, that was the disaster for Maryland,
really?
Although eventually it got fixed when Gary got there. But when John Slaughter decided to throw Lefty overboard in the wake of the Len Bias tragedy,
mm-hmm.
He wanted to hire an African-American coach.
He went Bob Wade, yep.
And he went and hired Bob Wade, and we all know how that turned out. And it was only Gary who ultimately saved the program, but they had to deal with 2 years of sanctions from the NCAA before Gary was able to turn it around. And it's funny because when I was talking to Mike Bray the other day, he said, think about this. If they had hired Morgan, every high school coach in the area, Baltimore, D.C., Virginia, would, their first choice would have been to send their best players to play for Morgan Wooten.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows what Maryland might have become. Now, as it turned out, they became the national champions in 2002. But it's certainly something to think about. And that was the only job he would have taken, Jason. I mean, he turned down $800,000 for 5 years from NC State in 1980. And just to put that in perspective, when State eventually hired Jim Valvano, he got $210,000 for 5 years.
Speaking
he turned down $800K a year at
No. So 800K total, which in those days was
a lot of money.
Gotcha,
extraordinary.
Okay. Yeah.
Like I said, it was four times what Valvano got when he got the job. And the same Mike Krzyzewski had a 5 year contract that same year to go to Duke for $200,000, one quarter of what Morgan was offered. And the funny story that Joe Wooten tells is that, you know, he read about how all this money his dad was being offered, and he said to him, he said, Dad, if you went and coached there, would we be able to get a swimming pool? And Morgan said, yeah, probably. And he says, take it.
Yeah, exactly. It's typical Joe. He just wanted that pool.
Yeah, he always wanted that pool. He could have been a great swimmer. Who knows?
Speaking of Bob Wade, I just remember one of the greatest high school basketball games I ever saw was, and I can't remember the year. I was probably 12, so I'm going to call it 82. But DeMatha played Dunbar Baltimore. I think it was played at Georgetown at McDonough.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and
the Muggsy Bogues, Reggie Lewis group. Lewis.
Yep, that group.
Yeah.
And it was a really good game, and Dunbar ended up winning. But, man, there were so many spectacular basketball players on that floor. And I was 12. I was just in awe.
Yeah. You know, I mean, DeMatha was, of course, involved in the most famous high school game of all time when they beat Power in 1965 with Lou Alcindor, who became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, when Morgan had his backup guys play defense holding tennis rackets over their heads to mimic what it would be like to shoot over Alcindor.
Yep.
And great quote came out of that because the year before, Power had beaten DeMatha by three, I believe.
Yep.
And Morgan said after that game, I always said one player can't beat you. I was proven wrong tonight because I think Alcindor had like 36 and 18 or something.
Yep. Well, the tennis rackets worked the next year.
Yeah, absolutely they did. And that was in Cole Fieldhouse, which was sold out. Apparently they were afraid the fire marshals were going to come in because there were so many people in the building that night.
Hey, I wanted to switch to golf here for a second. I know we've got a couple minutes.
You're excited about Rory shooting 67 yesterday?
I watched it. He was excellent. Look, when the guy can putt, he can just run away.
Yeah,
with
when he can putt, he's almost impossible to beat.
Yeah, and he was putting pretty well yesterday. Anyway, but with Tiger in the Olympics, I don't know how much you care about this, but you know, he's got to finish in the top four of the American players in the world rankings. And I think currently he's in that just ahead of Cantlay. But if he didn't, let's just say he finished fifth or sixth, do you think that some of the younger guys ahead of him would step aside knowing that Tiger would want to play on that team and just say, here, take
my spot? If I were them, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Olympics mean something to them, I mean, there's still golfers who aren't all that fired up about the Olympics. It'll be better than it was in Rio de Janeiro because they don't have to worry about what was the disease? I always forget the name. They were the virus.
Oh yeah, there was a virus.
Zika virus.
Zika.
But they'll have a better turnout this year. But if I was someone who didn't, you know, because most of these guys did not grow up dreaming of playing in the Olympics, they grew up dreaming of playing in the Masters, the U.S. Open, the British Open. But I wouldn't do that myself. They might get pressured to do it. Somebody might offer them a lot of money to do it. Because you know that the Olympic people and the PGA Tour and all the golf people are going to want Tiger Woods to play in the Olympics because then some people will watch at least if he plays. If he doesn't play, I don't think many people will watch. I don't think golf belongs in the Olympics. I don't think tennis belongs in the Olympics. I don't think any sport in which winning the gold medal is not the premier thing for your sport should be in the Olympics. I'm not sure we're not getting to that point with basketball. Hockey's a little different, even though Gary Bettman and his owner boys don't want to be involved, because for the Europeans, the Olympics is the biggest thing. Basketball, you know, it's always, well, maybe I'll go, maybe I won't go. Oh, my agent says I should go, so I'll go. But tennis has never belonged in the Olympics, and I don't think golf belongs in the Olympics.
Yeah. I could just see Justin Thomas saying, hey, Tiger, You know, you can take my
spot. Justin Thomas might. Justin Thomas is more of a Ryder Cup guy.
But
I think Tiger Woods will play. I think he'll probably play well enough to get in that top four.
I agree.
And he'll play, and then everybody will say the Olympics is a big deal, because no golf tournament is a big deal unless Tiger Woods plays. It's amazing to me that that's still the case when he's 44.
Yeah. Well, I would have watched the Farmers yesterday even if Tiger wasn't playing. Just so you know,
I'm a golf geek. I get
golf
that.
Nerd.
I'm one of those guys who just loves to watch it either way.
Yeah,
anyway.
Eric's the one who would only watch if Tiger's playing.
Oh yeah, he don't know any other players.
He's heard of Jack Nicklaus, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Barely. Yeah. What are you? What's the big plans for you this weekend?
No big plans. I've got the Loyola Maine basketball. Not Loyola. What am I talking about? UMBC Maine basketball game tomorrow afternoon, which is actually a big game. Maine is much better this year. They almost beat Vermont the other night.
Oh, wow.
UMBC's been struggling, but they got a win Wednesday. And then I'm starting work research on a new book, and I'm going to spend a lot of time this weekend sort of figuring out the direction I need to go in, and spend Sunday the way I always do with my family.
Is this new book fiction or nonfiction?
Nonfiction.
Oh, good.
Very good.
Can you give me a hint on the sport?
Yeah, no, I never have any secrets. I'm going to write a book I've wanted to do for years on race and sports, because I think it's the elephant in the room. And as in our society, and you could go back to Hitler in Berlin. You can go back to certainly Tommy Smith and John Carlos and the reaction to them. You can go to the anthem protests, which were very much a racial issue. So I'm going to track down as many people as I can who are relevant, both black and white, and try to write a book explaining why it's such a polarizing issue to so many people.
It'll be a challenge,
but I'm really excited.
Going to have a chapter on the Rooney Rule, 100%.
Well, no question, no question. And then I'll probably have a chapter on Lamar Jackson, you know, that outstanding running back.
Exactly, as you should.
All right.
All right, yeah. John, have a great weekend. Try,
all right, fellas, I hope everybody feels better next week.
Yep, we're going to try. We'll see how many of us are left standing.
I feel a
real hang in there, Cakes. You're in imminent danger.
I'm trying. I know. I'm fending it off.
Hey, John, turn on Federer. He's a tough fifth set here with Millman and the Aussie.
Oh, I'll check that out. I was sorry Serena lost, to be honest with you, but I'll check that out. Millman's a good player.
Millman's really good. I'm a bigger Coco guy than Serena. I like Coco.
Coco Gauff.
Yes.
Gauff.
I like Coco.
Yeah, I don't even know how to pronounce her last name properly. I hear it seven different ways. Yeah. But Serena's the greatest player of all time, whether she gets the 24th major or not, because 11 of Margaret Court's, and she's a great player, don't get me wrong, but 11 of her majors were Australian titles when nobody went to Australia in the old days.
Yeah, just not a big fan of hers. That's just me. All right.
All right, see you guys. Have a good weekend.
Talk to you again next week when we come back. We'll pivot away from John Feinstein to the entertainment page, and the lead story is about a viral video of Julianne Hough. We'll talk about that and more next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to the Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Started out as a three-man show, now a two-man show. It's Cakes and Bish. JP had to depart early, wasn't feeling very well.
John Millman up 40-30, fifth set, trailing 5-4 in the fifth against Fed.
That's your Aussie Open update.
That's it.
If you're a big tennis nerd.
Well, I mean, anytime Federer's playing, it's a big deal.
So we do have, this is Jason's fantasy come true. We have on the left TV, live sports.
Yep.
And I think on the right TVs, probably like SportsCenter or whatever their morning show is.
Mm-hmm.
Still don't see movie hits in Valdez's studio yet, like I was hoping for, and still waiting on the caps on the loop.
Do you know what I did this morning?
On the fourth TV.
I actually checked the TV guide.
You did?
Yes, to see if poker was on.
Ah, very good. Look at that. I appreciate that.
And it's not.
And it's not. So Abu Dhabi.
You know what?
I still Abu Dhabi.
Appreciate you looking and checking for me.
Abu Dhabi. Thomas Peters was leading after the first round. I'm not sure what he's doing today.
All right, Valdez.
By the way, Millman tied at 5-5 in the fifth.
Very good. That's your latest update.
So if you have cash on Fed, you're a little bit solid.
Yes. Time for the entertainment page. It was delayed a bit. We'll still get to it.
Mm-hmm.
The lead story. When I came into work this morning, both Valdez and Drab T-shirt were looking at the Julianne Hough video. They were digesting it like it was the Zapruder film from the Kennedy assassination back in the day.
Right.
I mean, they were poring over this video. Apparently, it's Julianne Hough, who's on a massage table. She's at the World Economic Forum in Switzerland. Not sure exactly why she's there, but she's there.
All right.
And she's got this, like, voodoo witch doctor guy.
Like some shaman, Swiss shaman.
Some guy, like, touching her in, like, some borderline inappropriate spots. And she's, like, writhing and going crazy on the table. And Valdez has, I believe, at least some of the audio from it. So here it is.
There's a wave pattern moving through the system, and there's always a huge dissipation of energy and a feeling of freedom. Expression of emotion may happen when the system moves, when energy that was stored or bound up in the muscles begins to dissipate. Most people wouldn't make that sound.
When that emotion came out, it was just stored emotion, and I could feel it. I'm not hypnotized. I'm not anything. I am totally conscious. And to me, that little, whether that was sound, whether that was the body moving, I feel so much more liberated on the inside.
Is that Steve Shenavy? Is that the doctor?
Like Freedom.
Is it a Steve Shenavy doppelganger?
Maybe, I don't know.
All I know is that Valdez and Drab could not get enough of that video when I walked in
this
morning.
Is that an act? Is that just an act?
She's faking that.
She has to be.
No, there's no chance. He barely touched her. I mean, he touched her on the butt, but there's no chance he can make her do that.
She's a weirdo.
Big scam. She's a weirdo.
Like, could make her feel that way.
Yeah. I don't think anymore.
I don't know.
You said that, not me.
Well, that's what the tabloids are saying.
Yeah. Brooks like.
Apparently, they're on a break.
Brooks had to go to sex school.
Yeah, well, maybe he should go to that doctor.
He's like questioning his sexuality. There's a lot. There's a lot going on.
Has Amy ever sounded like that?
Oh.
I don't know. The answer is no. I can unequivocally say no.
Well, if she did, she would be faking it like Julianne is.
maybe that's the case.
I think Amy sounds like that when Cakes tells her that he bought Bitcoin at
$1,500. Well, that's true.
Gets her all excited. Gets her all steamy.
Uh-huh.
You should see our average share price on Apple. You should see where it's at now.
Cakes tells Amy that you guys got first place bonus.
Yeah. So now you're painting my wife as she's some sort of like financially obsessed like money grabber, which is not the case. I like what you're doing though.
She's not on your level, but she's pretty close.
Hey, even though Under Armour is kind of tanking, Amy, you should see our average share price and where we got in and where we're at now. See, this is your cue to play.
God, that's annoying.
So I don't know what's going on with that voodoo witch doctor. His name is John Amaral. So he was the one that was like pulling the invisible string out of her backside from the, if you see the video,
mm-hmm.
You can go to NBC Sports Washington. I think Doug is flashing it up.
There's a 100% chance he touched the crack.
It appeared that way.
Yeah, he definitely did.
He was definitely near the naughty spot.
Yeah.
Clearly was.
And by the way, Brooks is very bitter when he sees that video.
I don't know what's going on there in their dynamic in their relationship, but it seems like it's what's a good word? Unsettled. Seems kind of unsettled what's happening there.
I haven't talked to Bruchlike in a long time. Light.
I have not talked to him either.
No, Eric talks to him on text every once in a while, but I haven't talked to him in a long time.
Hey, so Amy, I got a reservation at 5 o'clock at the Palm.
Yeah. Now, that might make her sound like that. That now you're getting into her wheelhouse.
Hey, Amy, we're going to Kiowa for the 27th straight summer.
Hey, Aim, what do you think about going to see Sugar Ray in Atlantic City on February 7th?
Freedom.
What?
Mark McGrath may have heard that before.
I'm sure he probably has.
Freedom.
Probably many times.
Amy, your parents are coming over for dinner tonight.
Freedom.
This is a good running bit. I think it might take the whole EP.
All right,
so Julianne Hough, is it fair to call her a wackadoo?
Oh, I think a whack job.
I think she falls
hot,
in.
Hot, though. A hot wacky. She's a hot wacky.
Yeah, yeah.
It's okay to be a hot wacky. Yeah. I'm just not sure I could live with you. Look like.
Hey, Aim, I got stacked at MGM National Harbor, set over setted. What do you think about that? That's the opposite end of the spectrum.
She might sound like that every Wednesday of the month when Cakes is at the Cakes Classic.
I would hope not. I would hope that's not the case. Just make it very awkward.
Amy, we're not going to have chicken and rice for dinner tonight.
Well, that's how I sound when I figure out that I'm going to live longer and not have chicken and rice together for dinner.
Cakes, I'm feeling... Well, I botched it.
No, go ahead. It's all good.
No, it was going to be something sexual, but it's fine.
All right, we'll move on.
By the way, Julianne Hough, hot wacky.
She's a hot wacky.
Yeah, she's a hot wacky.
No doubt about that. All right, this
and
is...
She's not the only one, but she's a hot wacky.
I am going to do the non-JP and actually read the headline so that it doesn't get dumped. The doctors beg men not to hook it with banana peels. Apparently, every show this week, we're going to talk about bananas and banana peels. Yesterday, it was the tennis player with the blisters who couldn't unpeel his own banana.
Mm-hmm.
And Vaz Valdez is unpeeling his banana behind the glass as we speak. Please get a shot of that.
Is it unpeeling?
Was this planned?
Is it unpeeling or peeling a banana?
I don't know.
Does anybody say I'm unpeeling my banana?
No, you peel a banana.
You peel
right.
Again.
Listen, he's all over the place today. Look at me.
Can you look at me? Concentrate. I'm having a rough day. Yeah. I didn't think we got off for Labor Day.
Right.
I said something else really dumb about an hour ago. And now I'm talking. I think unpeeling a banana, though, works. I think you can kind of get away with it.
I've just never heard unpeel.
You've never heard someone say, I need to unpeel my banana?
This was a hot story in the Matt and Matt show this morning.
So doctors have warned horny young men to refrain from using banana peels to hook it. The latest bizarre sex trend is circulating on social media. Apparently, it comes very close. It simulates the feeling of a certain sexual act. That's the best I can say, Drab.
A Sir Hough.
Yeah, Sir Hough. A Raji, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
However, Dr. Diana Gill from Doctor For You, I've never heard of that, some sort of prescription service, cautions against it. Quote, you could develop a rash and sores on your member, which can be painful and might lead to infection. So, Jason, when you're feeling frisky, don't unpeel a banana and use it by yourself.
Hey, Amy.
It's the bottom line.
Amy, can you pick up 6 bananas from Harris Theater today?
I didn't have it ready.
Hey, I like the effort, though.
I'm sorry. I've just never heard someone unpeel a banana. I've never said it. Maybe it's proper English. I don't know. I've never heard of it.
800-636-1067. Is unpeel a proper term to use when you're...
Hold on. Let me see if you...
When you're eating a banana.
All right. Can you unpeel
a lady
finger?
Please let me know. Let me know what the... The very wise internet tells you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys heard of this before this story came out?
I can't read it.
The banana story,
oh,
Rick.
Story. Yes, this could be the weekend preview. Valdez said he's doing it as soon as he gets home today.
I'll give you a review on Monday.
Oh, so you're going to fly in the face of the doctor's advice telling you not to do it. What if, the,
What if the
intriguing.
What if the newest trend was autoerotic asphyxiation? What if all of a sudden that took off? Are you going to do that too?
So what? You get a little sore. Put some ointment on it.
Right, you already have vitiligo. What's another sore to go along with that?
It's already a mess down there.
You have any other gags that you've been working on?
No, that's fine.
For the recall joke?
I think it's run its course.
Bachelorette.
Very funny, though.
It is funny. Bachelorette contestant Tyler Guads, I'm just grasping at his name, died after an overdose at the age of 29. Police in Raton, Florida?
I think it's Boca Raton.
Okay. Yeah. He was hospitalized January 13th after a, quote, medical overdose. He died in Palm Beach County after having spent a week in the intensive care unit. He appeared on The Bachelorette in the show's 15th season in 2019. I don't remember him because he didn't get very far. Mm-hmm. He was vying for Hannah Brown's love and attention, and he didn't last very long.
No.
But died at the age of 29, which stinks. That's very young.
By the way, have you heard about this story about the young kid, 24-year-old kid in Arlington who was found dead in his apartment?
I did not.
You haven't followed the story? Drab, have you followed the story? The young 24-year-old?
No.
Yeah, they found him dead in the apartment, and they said he had upper body trauma.
Ooh.
And I think there were other people in the apartment.
All right.
But they haven't released a lot of details. They said there was no drugs in his system.
Right.
So, died just right down the street.
It's pretty scary.
24 years old.
Did this news come out yesterday?
It's a homicide.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you have upper body trauma,
I mean, it's not like he fell down in the bathtub.
No.
It's a homicide. So I haven't followed it in the last 24 hours.
Scary
it's
news.
A pretty big story locally.
Let's go to Joe in Manassas. He wants to weigh in on Peel/Unpeel/Key and
what's
Peele.
Up, guys?
Hey, what's up, Joe?
Hello, Joe.
Love the show. Love the show as always. I think Unpeel works. Anything Manassas West. But anything east of Manassas, Fairfax, and in, I think it's Peel.
Okay.
I'm just going to go with that.
So once you get out into Woodbridge, Manassas.
Yeah, you're all good with that.
Like Winchester.
Technically in Fairfax and stuff, they may give you a hard time.
Okay. All right, so once you get out into the country, with the country folk, you can get away with Unpeel.
I think you can find Unpeel in Webster, so I'm going to go with it.
All right, good.
Even though no one said 99% of the world says Peel, but that's okay. You can stick with Unpeel.
I can roll with Unpeel a banana
if you want to. Yeah.
All right, very good. All right, we come back. We might dive into a little more EP. And coming up at 9 o'clock, Kevin McCarthy is going to tell you, Jason Bishop, what you need to see at the box
Someone
office.
Someone also wants to get into the Junkies Blitz. I'm just telling you, people are clamoring for it.
People are clamoring for the Blitz. Is JP calling?
Nope. But you might want to prepare it.
All right. We can do a combo Blitz leftovers on the EP next here on The Fan. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Kevin McCarthy will join us. He'll tell us about this weekend's box office. I think I'll run my top 5 Brad Pitt sillies list by him as well and see what he thinks about that. We talked about that earlier in the week. I think it's a very strong list. Maybe you missed that show. I can't remember.
No, I was here.
Yeah, you've been here all week.
Yeah.
You're one of the last men standing.
I thought that was last week, and we already talked to him about that.
I think it was earlier this week.
Yeah.
So we'll touch on that with Kevin at 9.
By the way, Millman and Fed in a 5th-set tiebreak. It's 1st to 10, by the way.
And somebody that we know pretty well has Millman at +400.
Mm-hmm.
His name might rhyme with crab.
8-5
right now.
Maybe
rooting for Millman, while the rest of you guys are just pulling so hard for Federer.
No, I'm not really. I think upsets. I assume it's going to be Nadal and Joker in the final, but who knows?
Here's an EP story that I won't do. Netflix's new ratings math sacrifices clarity for flashy numbers. That bores me. What doesn't bore me is the show that I'm kind of hooked on Netflix.
Okay.
You may have seen some of their participants, Jason, because they were recently on Ellen. What do you know about Cheer on Netflix?
Ooh.
The look behind.
Oh, this is the
highly competitive, very successful junior college in Texas. their cheer program has won, like, I don't know, 14 or 15 national titles.
I did not see them on Ellen. I just have no interest.
It's pretty. Look, I don't care about cheerleading or competitive cheerleading.
Right.
But it's basically, it's like a version of Last Chance U for the cheerleading world.
Yep.
And it's just intriguing to me to see, like, behind-the-scenes stories of some of the people on the team, the struggles.
I'm glad you like it, but I couldn't watch one episode.
No?
I couldn't do it.
Couldn't interest you?
Couldn't interest me at all.
One 50-minute episode.
Unless it has, a serial killer involved, one of their cheerleaders or serial killers.
Yeah, to my knowledge.
I probably won't be interested.
To my knowledge, nobody on the Navarro cheer team are serial killers.
Or if there's some murder mystery.
Unless they're hiding some sort of deep,
dark
secret
but that's
I don't know about.
That's really the only thing that I am interested in when I watch Netflix.
So the only thing that you'll look, like when you go and search Netflix, the only, like, have you ever put like serial killer or serial killer documentary in the search bar? What you do? Or
I don't think I've done that, but just based on the stuff that I've watched, that's what usually comes up.
Right.
On my popular on Netflix, you know, the,
right.
the top two lines.
Yeah.
So right now, on my top two lines, I've got The Mind of Aaron Hernandez.
Okay. Makes sense.
I've got
sports mixed in with a serial killer. That's like, that's your, like, your Mount Everest.
I've got The Sinner, which I hadn't seen.
Okay.
I
don't know about that.
But that's definitely like a murder mystery.
Okay.
I've got The Devil Next Door, which I think is a documentary about a serial killer.
Right.
Haven't seen it yet. I've got The Confession Killer, which I've started watching. That's about Henry Lee Lucas,
yeah.
Yep. It's just a psycho.
Mm-hmm.
I got Don't F with Cats, also about a serial killer. I've got Unbelievable, which is very good. I watched that. It's about a serial rapist.
Okay.
And that's based on a true story. And then I've got The Irishman.
You might need to put some fluff in there.
I'm not a fluff guy.
Look, I can watch a lot of those too. But I think you might have to balance it out,
Jason,
with something else.
Jason's so closed-minded when it comes to television.
Yeah,
it's really weird.
Yeah,
look, trust me, the first time I saw the promo trailer for Cheer, I was like, oh, why would I watch that? It's about cheerleading.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I gave it a chance, and now I'm going to watch all six episodes. I'm willing to dabble a little bit.
And I just finished season two of You.
Okay, about a serial killer. Duh.
It's about a serial killer, right. Played by Penn Badgley.
Okay, I've never heard that name before in my life.
I hadn't before this, but it was very good. And season three is coming in 2021.
Yeah.
It got a little weird towards the end of season two, but
right.
I was, for whatever reason, hooked on it. A lot of hot chicks in it.
I'm starting to get a little concerned about your mental space. Like, yeah. You might need a little. I know you don't want to add the fluff or something lighter. Yeah, you might want to consider it. Not that I'm a therapist or anything.
It just doesn't interest me.
Yeah, but don't you feel like...
I mean, I like sports documentaries, don't get me wrong, but not cheerleading documentaries. I couldn't get into that.
But doesn't watching everything about serial killers, doesn't it like just get old after a while, or no?
No, I'm just riveted.
You're always
the story.
Riveted by the new case.
I'm riveted at what goes through people's minds when they're doing it.
Yeah.
Like what are they thinking when they're going through it? How do they think they're going to get away with it?
Right.
For me, it's a huge interest. Huge. Like, I haven't watched the Aaron Hernandez doc yet. I've seen documentaries on him. CNN or HLN did a really good one.
Yeah,
this past year or in 2019, it was excellent. So I pretty much know everything that happened.
It's not. It's okay.
The Mind of Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, I think you know everything.
Right. I've already known all this stuff. Now, I didn't know the relationship with the mom. I think they kind of dive into that in this particular.
Yeah, his mom's a real piece of work.
But again, Aaron Hernandez is just riveting. It's like a riveting story.
Could you imagine hitting up, you know, if you're, you know, say one of your sons or daughters becomes, you know, a multimillionaire from the sport that they, mm-hmm. you know, choose. Could you imagine just getting on the phone with them, whether they're in prison or not, and just saying basically what his mom said, hey, why don't you just give me $1 million? Why don't you just help me out? Set me up, was the terminology that she used.
Right,
why don't you set me up for life by giving me $1 million?
Yeah, I mean, that's why he didn't have the relationship that he did with his dad.
What kind of just sponge, like, loser are you that you would look at your kid like that? Like, your kid's just a meal ticket. Like, if your kid wants to, you know, give you a certain amount of money, that's great. You spread the wealth a little bit, but just to come right out and ask for it. Basically, sound like you're demanding it from your kid.
I'd probably, if my daughter had a $50 million cut, I'd probably ask her.
You could kind of see her motivation. You see where she's coming from.
Hold on. So Millman beat Fed, correct?
No.
Federer came back?
Federer just won 6 straight points.
You're kidding me.
Never even seen that.
Oh, draft t-shirt just lost $5. Bucks.
He was down 8-5.
He was down 8-4.
8-4.
He was down 8-4 and came back at 110-8.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so bitter.
Travis, so I was
counting the money in my account.
That is a bad beat, my friend.
You just took a bad beat.
He got beat by the new rule.
Yeah,
because he had him at 7-4.
He had him at 7-1-10. They changed it.
Look at Drab. He looks like he just swallowed a cyanide pill.
So while we were talking about Netflix and all the serial killers that I like, that I didn't even turn my head left.
We were talking about serial killers, and Federer killed his account.
Wow.
In the same time frame.
Sorry to hear that.
Sorry, Drab. You know what? Here's what you need to do. Just bet on like a Goff long shot at the Farmers. Just roll the dice on one of those.
I'm not
going
to do that.
You're not chasing the money?
Boring ass sport.
That's unbelievable.
Meanwhile,
what a bad
beat. These two dogs, they're going to be riveted to their TVs today watching round two.
Yep.
From Torrey Pines.
I'll be down at Secrets today watching it.
Hold on.
What? That's right. You're going down to Ocean City.
Going down to the beach for the weekend. Yeah.
Going down the ocean.
Yep. Going down the ocean, hon.
How much, by the way? Who owns Secrets?
Maybe I'll go to MR Ducks.
Do we know who the owners are? Is it like just a family-owned business or like?
Well, I mean, it's a guy. I should know his name. He's owned it forever.
That guy is printing money.
Oh yeah.
Well, do you know,
just printing it.
You know, Secrets is the most profitable bar on the East Coast.
Yes.
I wasn't even aware of that.
Yes. It's number one in terms of profit.
What about the Starboard? Hey, it's Monty checking in.
We love the Starboard.
We do love the Starboard. I did not know that Secrets was that profitable.
Leighton
I knew
Moore.
It was doing well.
Leighton Moore is his name.
Well.
I mean, I assume he still owns it.
If you own it, why would you ever sell it?
Yeah, I mean, I think
that would be the equivalent of selling the Redskins.
He's been killing it for years.
Just crushing it.
Yeah. All those dirt balls from Jersey come down there. Jersey Shore boys.
The annual revenue is estimated between $25 and $35 million per year.
I mean, just a mega cash
cow. I'm pretty sure. He used to do this. I'm pretty sure he still does. He takes all of his employees on a trip after the season,
right.
Sometime in the fall,
right.
And pays for everything.
Yeah.
He flies them down the islands.
Probably should.
Yeah. Leighton Moore.
Spreading the wealth.
Filthy.
He's hooking them up.
Dirty, filthy rich.
Stinking rich is what he is.
Absolutely.
And you know what? You're going to make him richer this weekend.
No, I might go to MR Ducks.
Hold on. That place still exists?
Oh, yeah. It's my favorite
really?
Spot. In the summer, that's my favorite spot because I believe it's the only bar that's over water in Ocean City.
There's no way. Is Big Pecker still around?
Of course.
No. Yes. Of course.
I cannot believe some of these old school bars.
They're Ocean City staples.
Ocean City legendary institutions.
I might go watch Tiger. I'm going to force my wife to go watch Tiger today at MR Ducks. What do you think?
It actually sounds amazing.
They got money.
Not for tea, it doesn't.
By the way, money crab cakes. Money crab cakes at MR Ducks. Yep.
Didn't know
gonna
that.
Going to have a crab cake sandwich and watch Tiger and Shoffley and Ricky and Phil.
Hey, T, what do you think about going to watch Tiger in the second round of the Farmers Open? What do you think about that, T?
Freedom.
See, now I can train the guns on T a little bit.
Right. No, that should be me. That's the way I say it. We talk about golf.
Right. Yeah, that's a major difference.
All right, so we should take a break, and we'll hit Kevin McCarthy. Literally, we're going to hit him.
Yes, exactly.
At 9 o'clock.
Yes.
We'll talk about something boring and stupid in his life. Stay with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.